Does he look? Let me just say this, just in case you don't know. Well, rumor has it that you have 148 line dances in your brain that you can do at any time.
I have 148 line dances that I personally created. So
where's the book?
So number of dances, you know, it might be 1,000.
That you could recreate in an instant.
Correct.
Okay. Well, just to put the numbers out there. Hey, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Soul Tech Champions Live, coming to you live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I got to ask my partner the correlation, connect the dots, the wobble. How's that relate?
Hey, we have the main man here. He just said he had how many line dances did you say?
Oh, that was a shout out for
exactly.
Okay, my man.
You got to make sure it's relative for who we have in the house, man.
Real respect. Now, Roy.
But I want to know where the book is, all these line dances and everything.
Everything is on video now.
So okay.
YouTube, Facebook, you know, there's videos that are out there. Matter of fact, we have a dance we created. Tom Brown was just here in Pittsburgh, and we created a dance for his song, Funkin' for Jamaica, in 2012.
You got to slow down when you say that, too.
Yeah, you might want to repeat that title one more time, a little slower. The Tom Brown.
Yeah.
Tom Brown was in Pittsburgh.
And it's called?
A concert. Okay, so his song, one of his best-known songs, is Funkin' for Jamaica.
There you go. There you go.
Hold that thought right there.
We needed to make sure.
Funkin' for Jamaica. Okay, hold that thought right there because Cameron's going to do something before we continue. Again, it's Soul Tech Champions Live, coming to you live in partnership with the New Pittsburgh Courier that brings you updates and information on what we're doing each and every week. And my partner, Kevin Cameron, will tell you where and how to find us. Go ahead, Kevin. Let him know.
Hey, every Wednesday. And we know you're listening now, but, you know, it'd be great if everyone could listen every Wednesday. But whenever you listen, we definitely appreciate it. We come to you every Wednesday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. on UrbanMediaToday.com. Now, Bill, you know, we're still trying to get the word out and everything, and we need all of our listeners to help get the word out.
Well, guess what? Between these two cats here,
okay,
they got about 500,000 followers. So it's going to be out there big time.
And Ed, this is one case where it doesn't matter if they're Baltimore fans. Put it out there, man. Put it out
definitely
there.
Will.
Okay.
Definitely
wait,
will.
Okay. You're saying that it's okay that we have Baltimore followers?
It'd be great for us to have other listeners.
Even
because
Raven people?
Even winners. Ravens people. Because, winners. Ed, this is what we're going to do. This is the path that we're going down. You know, we're recording on Tuesdays right now. Hopefully, we'll get to the point where we're going to do this thing live and we're going to take call-ins and everything. So, we just don't want all the propaganda that comes from the black and gold. Don't get me wrong. I love it. But I want to hear from other fans, Baltimore fans, Cleveland. We're going to talk about Cleveland a little bit today as well.
So, what you're saying is, let me be clear.
Uh-huh.
What you're saying is, if you only have one Super Bowl, it's okay.
Well, if it's the other team, yes.
Yeah, I'm saying, but if,
like, but I think Baltimore has two.
Or if they have two. Or one,
facts. You know, you're. Don't worry, you're mistaken. You usually are.
One or two. I don't know.
Okay. But
it's okay if they listen too.
Baltimore has two.
Two.
But we have six.
There's a difference.
And I don't think a pro football team ever left the city of Pittsburgh as well.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
So when you're picking up other teams from other cities, when you have to go to Cleveland to get a team,
hey Roland,
that's deep.
Hey Roland, that cut like Jalen Cameron's knife set.
Oh yeah,
cut like was real.
Well,
knife cut.
You know when you want to bring up Baltimore moving, I think things like we all look at is economics. If I own a team and I come to you and say I need a new stadium, the stadium's falling apart, and you say we can't do nothing for you, and the next city says, hey, come on, we'll give you luxury boxes, we'll give you this, we'll give you that.
Yeah.
I got to pack up the truck and go.
In okay. The middle of the night.
And,
in
no, that was the Baltimore night. Colts.
Oh, sorry.
And
so the city of Baltimore
the city
was
of Baltimore got two championships out of that. And the greatest linebacker to ever play the game.
Well, hold that thought there. He's I know, it's real questionable. Yeah. I like Ray Lewis.
The greatest.
Don't get me wrong, but I won't say the greatest.
The greatest linebacker to ever
of all time.
Well, he's
game.
No Jack Ham, that's for sure.
And Jack Ham's not in his class.
He's no Singleton,
that's
for sure.
But just think about it.
That's for sure.
But just think about it.
He's no Dick Butkus, that's for sure. So you want to talk linebackers? You in the right
place. He's the greatest.
You're out of your mind. You're out of your mind.
I didn't stutter.
Yeah. Well, I know you said it three times, which tells me you're out of your mind.
So because you wasn't getting it the first time.
Well, we're gonna wait to get to our NFL talk. So just hold tight. Hold tight. I know I threw that out there for you.
But let me, since we're holding tight, let's get back to Roland funking for Jamaica. Now, Roland, give us a capsule, man. How you started this whole thing? You and I go back 40 years.
Okay.
Roland Ford and I ran the first, only, and only one, Frankstown Mile, that ran the only marathon race of any kind, any distance.
You organized it?
Absolutely. As you know.
And you only had one?
We only had one.
That says a whole lot.
We had the only race to ever go through the heart of Homewood, in the existence of Homewood.
Okay, no, hold on now. So you missed, we did a race, and I can't even remember the date, but it was on Kelly Street from the Homewood YMCA up and down. It was a 2-mile race, and it was the Muhammad Ali Road Race.
Well, yeah.
That's
true.
Put on, and Muhammad Ali came in town.
Right.
He was the parade marshal. I wish I kept that hat on.
Right.
He came in town, and because at that time how long ago was this? This was in the 70s.
In the 70s.
It had to be in the 70s. Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Yeah. So he was big time.
At that time, I was involved in the Nation of Islam, and the minister was a boxer, and he was friends. And whenever Muhammad Ali came to train, he would be with him. So Muhammad Ali came in town for that race. The thing I remember about that Muhammad Ali could not get into his limousine with all the women that were trying to get into the limousine.
Unbeknownst to a lot of people, there used to be a great gym in East Liberty way back in the day where, you know, Pittsburgh used to have a great fight history.
Sure.
People like Johnny Morris and Bob Baker and a host of other guys that came out of this city that were champions. And there was a great gym in East Liberty that my dad used to box. And I remember my dad taking me to the gym. And Ali would be in town on several numerous occasions training and what have you. And the person that Roland's speaking of, Minister Hassan.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Was just a remarkable individual and was a big part of bringing Muhammad back and forth. But back to you, Roland. So give us a caps on how your career started from there to now.
Right. But all my life I have been a long-distance runner, marathon runner, until the Africans used to come and dominate in the Olympics and all these other major distance events. It was kind of a really strange thing to see an African-American male who'd be running distances. So I would run many races around the city of Pittsburgh, and a lot of times I would be the only African-American in the race. But I love to run distance and et cetera. But at some of the bigger events like the Great Race, I would see a lot of brothers and sisters, and I say, hey, why don't we get together, form a team, you know, practice together, run as a team. And 12 years ago, one of the young ladies on one of those teams, her mother got invited to a line dance class. And the mother asked the daughter, go check the class out for me. She said, hey, I don't want to go by myself. Roland, would you come with me? I went to this class at Warren Church in the Hill District, conducted by Stella Hopewell, and that's when I first saw line dancing. It came because of running, my background as a runner. Saw line dancing. This young lady never went back to another class, but I did because I said, hey, this is good. People are moving, they're getting exercise. Everybody's jamming to the music. I really liked it. 2 months later, I'm working out at the YMCA in Homewood. A song comes on the PA system. I start doing some moves to the dance. Ladies around the gym were saying, hey, show us how to do it. The director of the wellness would walk through, and they ran over to him, Tom Wallace, and said, hey, this guy got to teach a class. March 2007, I taught my first line dance class. Never had any idea that it would get embraced and evolve and take on the life that it has. But that's how we got started doing line dancing, it came as a result of running and being a part of a running team.
Okay. And if you don't mind giving your age, you're welcome to. You're still a runner.
Yes.
Still an outstanding runner in your age level, or for that matter, any age level. And many Pittsburghers driving around can see Roland still putting it down.
All right. So in about 7 weeks, I will turn 70 years old. When I turned 60, I ran 30 races in 2.5 years around the city of Pittsburgh, including the half marathon, the great race. I won my age group 29 times. So I was one of the dominant runners in my age group. Now dancing and other things that I do take up so much of my schedule, I'm not running as much, but I am training now for next year. I'm training for next year.
Now, Roland, I have an assignment for you, and hopefully you're up for assignments, and, you know, to probably be huge. So one of the things, and you'll have enough time, because as we sit here and talk about all the things that you did and that you do, you know, we're sitting here in August, so the Super Bowl is in February. And we need a Pittsburgh Steeler line dance for the Super Bowl.
That is something that I would like to work on. Funny thing, several years ago, when the Steelers played in the championship.
Wait, are you implying that we are going to the Super Bowl?
We are going to the Super Bowl.
And that's what you mean. But you remember Wiz Khalifa came out with the hit song.
Right.
Black and Yellow.
Yep.
And myself and a friend of mine, Jim Weaver, put together a dance step for that song, Black and Yellow. If the Steelers, they did not win the Super Bowl that year, but if they had won, they were going to bring him back in town.
Mm-hmm.
And the dance that we created, I'm sure it would have really done something major. At that time, though, it did go viral.
Mm-hmm.
We made a video of the dance. I sent it to Andrew Stocky at 10 o'clock, and he played it, and it went viral.
Right.
The next morning, I got a call from KDKA. I had to take off from my job and go down, and they played it on the 5 o'clock and 7 o'clock news, and people were doing that dance all across the United States.
Exactly. And that's what I'm talking about.
We do need another thing, and also now we've created a whole series of things that people can do in their seat.
Mm-hmm.
So we can come up with a couple different things.
During
the season or before the season's over, and maybe we can get it in Heinz Field.
We need it during the playoffs, and you know
you
how
have
we have
to make the playoffs, Kevin. It's
a done deal. Come on now, Pittsburgh Steelers.
You have to make the playoffs.
How often don't we make the playoffs? Right. Not that often. Okay,
you have
so
to make the
you're
playoffs.
You're thinking about your team.
No,
did Baltimore
about the
make the playoffs last year?
Nope.
Thank you. So you're thinking about your team.
No, I'm thinking
you're,
about the Steelers that's not going to make it this year.
The Dirty Bird Ravens.
Yeah, do us a favor. Don't worry about our team. Just worry about your team.
But Roland, seriously, yes. Man, when we have the pep rallies downtown Pittsburgh
right.
during the playoffs, yes. the whole crowd needs to be doing
Wait a minute.
The dance.
Wait a minute. What we need is Soltech Champions Live is going to be on site at the Steeler game. We need the Rolling Ford Pittsburgh Steeler line dance team then.
Okay.
That will be
an assignment. I would be happy to take part
of. As soon as we get a date for what game we're going to announce live from Heinz Field, let's get the Rolling Ford dance crew down there for that.
I do want to make sure that I mention, since we brought up about the races in the African-American community, that I guess it'll go out on the broadcast tomorrow.
Yeah.
So on Saturday morning, there is a race in the Hill District. It's called the Uphill 5K. Starts at Freedom Corner, goes up Center Avenue, almost to the VA, turns around and comes back. And for the first time, the city of Pittsburgh is sponsoring a foot race in a predominantly African-American community. So people who hear this.
Wait a minute.
The city of Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay, okay.
This is one of the five community foot races that the city of Pittsburgh
does, including the Great Race. You notice he doesn't listen very well.
Brian Breed,
you notice that, right?
Running around the square.
You
so now
up
the
that?
Uphill 5K is the first foot race through a predominantly African American community that is sponsored by the city of Pittsburgh, which means that they're helping to pay for it.
I get that.
And it's going to benefit August Wilson Park, which is in the Hill District, formerly known as Cliff Street Park or something like that.
Great.
But anyway, so we do want people to come out. There's a 5K, which is 3 miles, but there's also a 1 mile. Mm-hmm. So the 1 mile, people just go up half a mile, come back, but come out and support the Uphill 5K, which is part of the Health and Wellness Weekend in the Hill District, sponsored by Jake Wheatley's office.
All right, when people hear this on Wednesday night, give them a phone number, email address they can contact to be a part of the race on Saturday.
Okay. Well, they can contact me. I'm one of the co-chairs for the race, and my number is 412-225-9190. Or they can contact Jake Wheatley's office, and they'll have all that information. The city of Pittsburgh has a page called Special Events, and it lists those foot races. The Uphill 5K is on there. People can go on there. You can register online. You can register the morning of the race. Got to get up.
So you can just show up.
You can just show up
and
participate, get really nice T-shirts. There's all this good stuff. But it speaks to the whole fact that we're talking about is, you know, getting and maintaining health, getting healthier.
Let me add one thing to what you said. Now, that's State Representative Jake Wheatley. His office can be contacted for that as too. Okay, so history is being made once again. Now, Roland, just real quick before we shuffle to that conversation about what's the team?
You're talking about the Baltimore Ravens?
Yeah. Hey, Roland, for your 70 years, for Serena, for Tiger, what's the magic? What's the magic potion, the magic bullet, the magic pill for conditioning? What is it? What do we need to know first and foremost about conditioning, nutrition, and for any and all of us getting ready for the next step?
Okay. Everybody knows basically though, exercise and eating healthy. Okay, but I think there's an intangible that is highly important
that you always talk about.
I think there's the
wings you always talk about. You need to lay off.
There's an intangible that's highly important, and I think it's motivation. It's motivation. It's the will to want to succeed. It's the will to want to be a champion. I think that's the biggest factor. People have to make a decision to say, hey, you know what? I want to do something. I want to be something. I want to get healthier. So it's the mindset. I think that's the biggest factor in determining a person being able to be successful in sports or really with anything else.
But for the everyday listener, what are those three or four tips that you offer in everyday life that people need to immediately gravitate to?
Okay. Well, one of the things that I've learned is that in terms of our appearance and our health and wellness, 10% comes from genetics. We can blame our parents. 10 to 20% comes from exercise, fitness, and movement, which we do a lot of. I have a company called Dance and Be Fit, and we feature programming for all ages and all abilities.
Did you bring us any shirts? I see you have a shirt on. You got a shirt, man.
We'll get some for you.
Okay.
Okay. But the overwhelming majority, 70 to 80% of our appearance and our health and wellness comes from nutrition and what we put into our body or what we don't put into our body. That's the lion's share. Okay, so we need to make healthier food choices. I tell people this all the time: just eat less of what you know is not good for you, and eat more of what you know is good for you.
To that point, hold that thought. To that point, piggybacking off Kevin's point, I'm not giving up them wings. That's number one. I am being selective as to where I get them from, and I'm eating fewer of them. But I'm not giving them up. All right, go ahead, Roll.
Okay. And so the one thing I tell people is make sure that you eat every day a portion of fruits and vegetables. That's the biggest key, if I was going to give a key, is increase your plant-based food.
Question: can my fruits come in the form of a smoothie? Can I consume my fruit in the form
absolutely,
of a smoothie?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You just want to take them in. You just want to take. See, the problem is when you look at TV, there's all these commercials, right? And the commercials actually hit our subconscious and whatever. And so we don't make healthy food choices. You go into the supermarket, 80% of what's in the supermarket is not food. It's something that's processed. Scientists study. They have this thing they call a bliss point, so they know exactly how much sugar and salt to put in it to make that taste. That'll make it addictive for you. And so it's addictive. It's not satisfying, so on and so forth. And, you know, all these commercials, you know, the fast food industry, all these things that plague us. However, we are actually working with different programming. Right now we're getting ready to put together a cohort of 100 seniors that we're going to be coaching for 3 to 6 months and just helping them to make that journey towards a healthier lifestyle, eating more fruits and vegetables, being more active, those sorts of things.
Sounds good. Now, we're going to get back to a little bit nutritional stuff and all that stuff before the show's over. But I can't wait any longer. I got to turn this loose. And I can't think of a better person to turn it loose to than my partner, Kevin Cameron. So, Roland, you and I are going to take a step back, relax in our seats, while I reintroduce Kevin Cameron by way of Aliquippa, Pennsylvania, the city of champions within the city of champions, who's also a veteran who's been around the world and a staunch believer and a season ticket holder for the Pittsburgh Steelers, to debate, converse, if you will, with Ed Montgomery, the official number one Pittsburgh Steeler hater. Ding, ding, round one.
13-3 in 2017, swept the AFC Central.
I'll interrupt with, where did all that get you?
Or I should say AFC North, I should say.
I'm going to ask you once again, where did all that get you?
Yeah, it got us into the playoffs.
Well, I know a lot of
– It got us into the playoffs.
You know what I noticed about living in Pittsburgh?
What?
A lot of Pittsburgh fans – or happy with that.
No, we're not happy with it.
We got us to the playoffs.
Where did it get us?
We made the playoffs.
Isn't that where
a true
it got us? Isn't it?
Yes, it is.
You asked a question, so I answered it.
Yes, it is. But
I was disappointed, if you want to know.
A true fan, if you don't win, if you're not that one team holding out Lombardi at the end of the year, to a true fan, it was a failure. We didn't win nothing.
Did you hear me say I was disappointed?
Yes, you did.
Okay, thank you.
But so that goes back to, where did it get you? In the end, it got you it got the Steelers an extra paycheck.
Did we whoop the Ravens' butt?
No, y'all didn't whoop us.
Yeah, we whooped you.
Well, no, y'all didn't. Y'all won the game. Y'all didn't whoop us. Y'all won the game.
And you take our old players, Mike Wallace and other players.
He looks pretty good for us.
I see you don't have him anymore.
We let him go.
You let him go.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what happened.
I mean, Flacco, you brought in a new quarterback, this guy from Louisville. What's his name?
Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson, who's not going to pan out. So,
well, who says he's not going to pan out?
Wasted draft pick?
Who says he's not going to pan out?
I'm saying he's not going to pan out. He's a Heisman Trophy winner. Mm-hmm. Heisman Trophy winners have a hard time normally in the NFL. I just do not have... I'm not going to say faith. I don't believe in Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, because the way he plays football has been known not to work in the NFL. Well, if you take a look at RG3, the same type of style RG3 had.
Well, I'm going to interrupt you with that. And okay. I'll say this, because I agree with you. They will definitely have to change his game.
Okay.
But also, if you followed all the pressings coming out, he was in a pro offense at Louisville. He ran a pro offense at Louisville as well as running a spread. He was the one that they said was the most ready for a pro offense.
Good arm strength, right?
Point with anything that goes with this, for anybody, no matter what quarterback you have, as y'all said or mentioned, we'll talk about Cleveland. Mm-hmm. How many number one draft pick the quarterbacks Cleveland has had? You have to put a guy in the right position.
But you said Cleveland, so you said enough.
You have to put a guy in the right position to succeed.
You do.
RG3, I honestly don't feel Mike Shanahan put him in the right position to succeed. Because
where's RG3 at now?
He's with Baltimore, of course.
Okay.
Because this is the thing. With anything like that, you like the Wildcat came. It was a big thing. These guys were paid millions of dollars to figure this out.
Okay.
Kaepernick was a big thing for a minute.
Okay. Big thing as far as what?
On the field. Took San Fran.
I was going to go there, Ed.
The read option.
I was going to go there because Kaepernick would have been a real good fit in Baltimore.
I said we should have drafted him last year.
You should have picked him up.
Picked him up last year, and actually, I was actually mad at Ray Lewis.
That was the move.
Yes, it was.
That was the move.
Yes, it was.
Well, I mean, you have to be able to give the team what they're asking for. Okay, it's just like any other job. When you go into a job, you have to be able to contribute the way the employer wants you to contribute.
Well, they didn't sign him because it wasn't because of what Kaepernick said. It was something his girlfriend posted on the internet.
Okay. But it didn't work out.
Right.
But I do think he would have been a real good fit for Baltimore.
But as I always say, success is based on what you have around you. With any good quarterback, you have to take their strength, but also it's a system. And you have to put people around him that's going to make him. Because if you look at Lamar Jackson, he has some of the same skills Michael Vick had.
Let me just jump in here real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if you understand. You done veered left and right away from Baltimore.
No, I didn't.
And Kevin come out the gate kicking your dirty bird butt around the table. Now, you want to defend Baltimore or are you here to talk about?
Well, we were talking about Lamar Jackson and his success.
We need to hear what Baltimore is going to do.
We're going to the Super Bowl.
You ain't going to the Super Bowl this year?
We're going
to the Super Bowl this year.
You don't believe that.
You're saying it, but you don't believe it.
I believe it.
Check this out, Ed. My co-host, he'll agree with me because we've known each other for some time now. Mm-hmm. We've been doing this show for a number of months. It's still relatively new, mm-hmm. and he understands I do not pull punches when there's good teams. I'll say it's a good team, even if it's my team. If they're a bad team, I'll say they're a bad team. And I've said it about the Pirates for a number of years now. I'm not going to sit up here and talk smack on the Pirates when I know they're a weak team.
All right, now I'm
and Baltimore is a weak team.
No, we're not. We missed the playoffs by one game. Let me finish. We missed the playoffs by one play. We lost 1, 2, 3, 4. Have more 3 starters on our offensive line. We lost our starting cornerback. We had more injuries last year.
Wait, can I interrupt?
Hold on, let me finish.
Let me finish.
I have to. We did all this. We still had a top 10 defense. Now, our offense did not play up to par. That's why we went out and got rid of Mike Wallace, got new receivers.
It wasn't Mike Wallace's fault.
But we went out and I'm not saying.
Joe knows how to play football.
Well, I don't think Joe wasn't healthy. Joe didn't get healthy to the last 6 games.
Why you get rid of Mike Wallace when Mike Wallace wasn't your problem? Your quarterback was the problem, healthy or not.
It wasn't just a quarterback. There was a lot of things to play. I'm just saying
Mike Wallace wasn't your problem.
He was part of the problem.
What I wanted to offer was, can somebody run out and get some wine, some cheese to go with this wine you're doing?
I'm not. That's what
I know. I just want rolling. Maybe you're closest to the door. Can you go get some cheese and we can have this wine? We had injuries. We didn't have this. We didn't have that. Come on, man. That's what you came here with?
Well, let's pick this up, Bill, on the opposite
that's what
side.
You came here with.
Bill, I'm stating facts.
All right, well, hold them facts. We'll be back in a moment. We got another break at Baltimore. You're going down slow right now. No, we'll be right back.
Call RSG Financial for your bookkeeping, accounting, and tax service needs. Call 412-742-4345. RSG Financial provides accounting and tax services for business and personal needs. Call us or email MaryJo@RiversideSalesGroup.com. Riverside Sales Group is proud to be an organization with minority ownership. Call today, 412-742-4345.